trials can make either victim or victor. Let me repeat it. Trial can make us to be either victor or victim. Let's kind of dwell on that word, victim or victor. Word itself can give us enough nuance, enough explanation. Victim somehow helpless. And just turn the TV on, you know, there's enough news about the murder. Did you notice the majority of murder happens near my neighborhood? Wonder why, but that's, Karen and I both say that that's the murder capital of Tucson. Anyway, the mission between Ajo and Valencia Mission, and you know, that 6th Avenue, that area is within a few miles there. That's murder capital. Majority murder happens. Anyway, well, but then again, he lives right in the smack in the middle of it, so. Oh, is that so? Yeah, there was a neighborhood, right? Anyway, victims is like a happen around without their choice. In this case, victims was done in choice. Victims done made in choice. Murder happens without choice. A lot of times. Drive-by shooting somebody just out of nowhere, a bullet hit this person and get killed. That person is a victim, and the family is a victim, friends are victims. That's not by choice. But in Christian life, we choose to be victim, we choose to be victor. It is very important for us to understand that meaning by choice. Stick your finger right there. This is the promise we're going to go back over and over. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Of course, you guys know this by heart. But let's go back and revisit this famous verse. And as soon as I say Romans 8, 28, some of you guys say, yeah, you can rattle that thing off. That's fine. Let's go back and read that thing very carefully. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. We often remember that we all things work together for good and stops there. Is it true? Is it for everyone? No. There's a limitation. Work together for good to those who love God, that's number one condition. And number two condition is to those who are called according to His purpose. In other words, if I'm not a Christian, those things may not work out well because I'm not His kid. My daughter moved out. She got the home place. We were there at had the first dinner in her apartment, macaroni, cheese macaroni, macaroni cheese. And it was... and the vegetables, and it was a good meal. Yeah. She had the box piled up all over, and with her, guess what is gone? The cat, not my cat. Let me rephrase that. The cat is gone too. Thank God. I can leave my office door open, and that's fine. Anyway, if she wasn't my kid, I wouldn't pour out my love toward her. If she is somebody else's kid and there is no relationship, I wouldn't pour my heart to her. However, since she's my kid, I pour my heart to her. Same thing with God. If we are not His children through Jesus Christ, what would He pour His heart to us and provide the same thing what He would do to His children? So this is the verse that we have to think about, and not, and all things work together for good. But it didn't say everything will be hunky-dory. It said just work together to those who are called and those who are His. Now, we have a concept of good. What's the good? material good, health-wise good, and when everything in our, what we can see is good, it is good. But somehow, when God says it's good, not necessarily what we see. As I said before last week, some people die, would never get healed. Some people martyred. I don't think that that's a good idea in the general concept. But in God's eyes, they're special. I'm hoping that if the time comes, we all get persecuted, and if the Lord tells, it will come. We might have a Bible study in the prison because we believe Jesus Christ, not because we murdered somebody. If that's the case, I hope we have enough guts to stand up for the name of Christ. If we can stand up for some stupid football game, we can stand up, certainly stand up for our Christ. So, think about this. All things work together. Underline all, and remember that all, that is a promise of God. All, it means all. You know, one of those detergents is A-L-L. Yeah, it is true. All of them, not just something is exception. That means your problem, my problem, all of our problem, work together for good. Work together for good. And there's no exception. We often think that when we face trials and temptation and difficulty, we just roll up to our sleeves and try to get the things done and make our way right. That's great, but sometimes God doesn't want us to do that. Karen and I have, time to time, we have a wild imagination. Let's say we have about $40 billion. What are we going to do with that thing?
What?
It is our tendency, after we become a Christian, it is our tendency to want to help other people, right? Helping other people may not be God's choice. Maybe we can quickly write a check for somebody who is going through a tough time. Maybe God wants them to go through a tough time. Why? That's what we are going to talk about. Not sometimes, all the time, God does not waste trials and tests. Let me repeat it. God does not waste His trials and tests. There's only one way for us to, unfortunately, there's only one way for us to learn properly and to be the godly person is that through trials and tests. When the trials and tests, when we receive the trials and tests, we make a choice. That trial and test can be wedged to push us away from God or push us toward God. We can run away from God or we can run to God. Now, if we run away from God, guess what we become? Victim. If we run to God, guess what we become? Victor. That's the difference. When we go through trials and tests, we have a choice. I think I said this to you, I think it was the last Sunday. Satan cannot attack us and tempt us and fall into temptation unless we choose to. And so that when we go back to this victim and victors, when we make a right choice, we become victors, God received the glory, and we learn. We can chalk it up. And that's a good way to do it. And once we do that, we have one notch on our belt, and we pass that. Now, does it mean it's end of trials and tests? Wouldn't that be nice? But somehow, if you're like me, being hard-headed, thick skull, guess what? We have to go back to that thing. Before I became a Christian, I was not a very good person to be around, to ask Karen. Especially on the road, I drove real fast and still drive fast. I have a lead foot. Especially when I used to go down to Tombstone for a combat shooting. I had a match. And I called it Rip Frog. I was following the semi-truck. They drive usually 75 to 90 miles per hour. I choose the fastest one, go right behind them, about 15 feet away from the end of the trailer. And then if I see another one, zoom past by that guy, the next one. So the two reasons, number one, biggest reason is if somebody has a radar on us, guess who get picked up? The big guy in front of me, not me, even though I was driving fast. And then another thing is, he gets the air resistance, I get the better mileage with the fuel. And it's a lot more excitement to do with that kind of thing. But if we ever stop, there won't be anything left over. Have you ever seen one of those cartoon things? Something that sticks on the back of the truck, flat? That would be me. Now, this is what, for that illustration, and I'm not encouraging you to drive that like that, that's stupid, pure stupid. I am dumb, but I was dumb and suicidal when I did that kind of thing. What I'm saying is, let's stay behind God. Let Him go first. Let Him get all the resistance. When we go through this time of difficulty, just go under His shadow of His wings by depending on Him, by getting into His Word. There's a two caution I'm going to ask you to do. Please, if you don't remember anything, remember this. When we go through a difficult time, Satan will do everything to make you to be isolated. You hear me? Satan will do everything to make you to be isolated. Feel like you need to be alone. Don't be alone, please. When you go through a difficult time, run to God, number one, and stay in fellowship. Any good military strategist knows that to separate enemy, isolate the smallest, weakest one. How many of you guys watched the Animal Kingdom, especially when the lion and the jaguar chasing the poor deers? They go after one, the weakest one, slowest one. They don't chase the entire herd. They go after one. First Peter chapter 5 says, Satan is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He go after one weak one. He is trying to isolate when we go through a tough time. And once we are isolated, he will put all this crazy thought in our heart. So do not isolate yourself. Number one. Not only from God and in the fellowship. Number two, usually when we get isolated, we stop reading the Word. Isn't that true? Don't look at me like that. You don't know what I'm talking about. You know exactly what I'm talking about. When we go through the tough time, isolate ourselves, we tend to think, oh, poor me, and say, nobody cares about me, nobody loves me, so... And God cannot love me, so we push this thing away. Well, you just open the door to yourself, to Satan, so he can come in anytime and beat the snot out of you, and snot out of me. We'll not do that. So do not isolate yourself, and do not stay away from the Word. Keep the communication on with God. God allows, I say it again, God allows trials and tests come into our lives. There is a fancy word for that one. Providential blessing. It is not something we ask for, and we just so we get excited to have the trials and tests. I bet Louis is so excited to go through a tough time, huh, Louis?
Absolutely.
Uh-huh. She take it as joy. She is very spiritual. Now, it's a providential blessing. It's not something we ask for, but it is something we need to be the godly character. That's what God wants us to do. Have a godly character. Turn your Bible with me to the Philippians 1:6. Of course, you already start thinking, you know, I know that verse. Being confident of these various things, that he who started began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. That means he's not going to quit. Once he started the good work in us, what's a good work? Making us like Jesus. Then he will not quit until he finishes. He said, the apostle Paul said he has confidence in him. Not confidence in what we can do, our ability, but it's about him. Okay, let's go to one more verse. Luke 9:23. Sounds like a bingo. Luke 9:23. And he said to them, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself. Number one, let him deny himself. Number two, take up his cross daily. And not just one time. No, he said daily. Oops. And follow me. Number three. Number one is, let him deny himself. What does he mean? Saying, I'm not Sally. I'm not Jack. I'm not Pam. That's not what it means. That means denying our fleshly desire. Saying, I'm no to the things that I want to do, flesh carnal desire, and pick up the cross. Identifying ourselves like who? Christ. Then follow him. So in other words, remember the first lesson of the book of James. James, bondservant of Jesus Christ and our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember the bondservant in Greek word is doulos. D-U-R-O-S. Doulos. Doulos means bondservant is no longer slave by force, but become choice. See, it is very important for us to understand once we become bondservant of Jesus Christ, his wish become our wish, our command. And Jack is thinking, he forgot to pray again. Yeah, I forgot to pray again. Let's pray, since he is poking my head. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Not just so Bibles open in our lab, but let our hearts be open. Let our ears be open. Let us not be just a hearer, but let us be a doer. Speak to us. This is the most difficult concept for us to accept, but it is most important thing for us to understand. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 3 of the book of James, chapter 1. Knowing that testing of your faith produces patience. Let's read that again. Knowing that testing of our faith, your faith, produces patience. Some of your version says endurance, some of your version says perseverance. God will pour out his strength into us so that we can be like Jesus. The definition of perseverance, patience, or endurance, whichever you are suffering, whichever says, is virtue of that God prized highly in a man of God and seems to be developed best under the trials. Remember the Galatians chapter 5, verse 20 to 23? One of the fruit we receive, we have to bear. I should not say receive. Is what? Patience. In other words, it's a fruit. It's something we have to bear. We cannot just receive from God. That means it's not one of the gifts like speaking in tongue or interpretation of tongue or prophecy or wisdom. It's not something we receive. We have to come up with. Patience only can come from trials and tests. I'm sure some of you know this story. When you get the gold, usually the gold is raw gold, is not mixed with a whole lot of junk, but there is some junk inside, so what they do, they have to melt that thing. To make a pure gold out of that chunk of raw gold, they stick it in a pot and then increase the temperature, until it becomes liquid gold. And when it becomes liquid gold, all the gunks start to float on the top. And then goldsmiths come by and he scoop that gunk out of that liquid gold, time after time. And how does he know when it's pure? This is a very interesting thing I learned. When he comes by and look down on that liquid gold pot, if he can see that his reflection, that's when he stopped. In other words, he put the fire in our life. And we don't like all the things happening. But while we stay with Jesus, stay with God, stay in the Word, stay in the prayer, all the gunks, all the carnal desire comes out. And he scoop them up, and become pure and pure. Purified by fire, like a gold, as one of the epistles says. And when he can see his reflection in us, that's when we become pure. Let's make this thing very clear. When I became a Christian, I was a real idiot, and I thought God got a good deal, and I should be the one called to preach the gospel all around the world. How stupid I was. And then I realized it takes time. And being an impatient person that I was and I still am, no, I don't want to wait. Guess what? God takes time. He is an extremely patient person. Please don't go through the difficult time like I went through. If we start to kick and scream, guess what? If we had supposed to go through this much time, and we start to scream and go berserk, he just lengthened our trials and tests because he knows that we haven't learned anything. We still go berserk, he lengthened a little longer. In other words, when we don't learn, he prolongs our trials and tests. Just extend the time until, because it's one of those things, until we finish it, he doesn't turn that fire off. So it's difficult. Any of you guys watch, some guys, most likely guys, not the gals, Discovery Channel, there's a Navy SEALs, Hell Week. Any of you guys, probably Carl does, he's that kind, and John, yeah, yes. Hell Week is 7 days, is a little living hell for any candidate for a Navy SEAL. They demand any recruit to go through the ungodly thing. They make them to sleep like 3 or 4 hours, and then they wake up in the middle of the night, dump them in the cold water. Trust me, San Diego sea water is not exactly friendly water at 2 o'clock in the morning. I've been there at 2 o'clock afternoon, I was frozen. So that's not my idea of having fun in the sea. And they grew the person. What's the idea of that? They're pushing that person to the limit, almost to the edge, and make them person to be the person they want. Navy SEAL, the finest elite group, elite commander in the world. That's the same concept. Military training, we are in the Lord's army. You may have a very soft skin, you may have a very feminine thing. Guys, I hope you don't. But we are in the military, in God's army. And Jesus is our captain. We all fighting against the demonic forces. You know, if you don't believe me, just read Ephesians chapter 6, full armor of God. We cannot be a good soldier of God unless we go through training after training. Only training we can really go through and good for us is endurance training. Verse 4 of chapter 1, James. But let the patience have its perfect work. Underline perfect work, please. That you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Why did I ask you the perfect work underline? Telos. T-E-L-E-Y-S, teleos, is in Greek word. When you look at it, it's not just say perfect. In other words, actually it's a complete. Or preferably it's word definition mature. When we read just this portion, they let the patient have its perfect work. Perfect work for what? But when we put the word instead of perfect work, mature, it makes perfect sense. When the patients bring us to the level of mature level, then we're in that stage. There's no substitute. There's no other way. There's no shortcut when we go through trials and tests other than endure. God would not do anything unless we give Him the full permission from us. Remember, as I said before, the Satan cannot attack us unless we allow him to attack us and get us. Oh, he can attack us anytime, but he cannot really get us unless we allow him. Same thing. God cannot do His wonderful work in our lives unless we allow Him to do so. Unless we, you know, in other words, don't think that I'm making a heresy. Unless we cooperate with God, unless we work with God, unless we do right thing, like running to Him and pray and studying the Word of God, God cannot do good things in our lives. In other words, when we fight against God's way, He cannot really do a good job in our lives. He cannot make a good Christian out of us. Let's go back there. You may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. That means we are fully growing. And can you imagine that our spiritual condition? If we can see that our spiritual condition. Okay. What's that guy? I never remember that guy who played the Incredible Hulk. Yeah. Look like Carl, right? All buffed up guy. Bicep 40 inches, something like that. Huh?
That too.
Anyway. That guy is buffed up. Why? Did it because they take one pill and body put up? No. He went through vigorous training. Arnold Schwarzenegger, he went through vigorous training. And some of these gymnastic people, they have absolutely sculptured body. Why? They put themselves through difficult training. It takes time. It takes a tremendous effort to do that kind of thing. And once we come to the point where lacking in nothing, as we are mature and understand. Now, let's get this right. When we say mature, that doesn't mean no more trials. No, there's a trial until we die. I believe that Jack is a mature Christian. For change, I'm not joking about it. He is a mature Christian. Doesn't mean he doesn't go through trials and tests. No, he goes through trials and tests. Because we think he's mature, but God says, no, he's not done yet. He's still working on him. There's the thing is, I arrived at the level that I don't need any trials and tests. You just started the pride. There is no such a thing as end of a trial until we reach heaven. Verse 31 in chapter 40. This is my all-time favorite verse. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew the strength, mount up the wings like eagles, they shall walk not be weary, they shall run not. This is a beautiful verse then with a picture of an eagle in the background. Do you know the one main point of the whole verse is two words. And then four words. They that wait upon the Lord. That's the key point. They that wait upon the Lord. The rest of them is the result. Let's open the book of Revelation. By the way, it's not Revelations. It's a revelation. Karen used to correct me. Probably she's thinking, you are pastor, you are teacher. Chapter 2, Revelation, verse 8. Can you hear me? Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Don't fall asleep on me.
Okay.
I can see. Chapter 2, verse 8. And to the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things say the first and the last who was dead and who came to life. I know your works, tribulation, poverty, yet, but you are rich. And I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogues of the Satan. Do not fear any of those things of which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you in prison, that you may be tested, and you will have a tribulation 10 days. Faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. He who overcomes shall be hurt by second death. Let's go back in the dissect a few. Angel of the church in Smyrna. That's a representation. Of course, this portion is a literal type and the character of the modern day church. Not only that, but also it's a literal history of the church from the day until now. This is the only church out of seven churches Jesus Christ founded. And not finding any death. Church Smyrna is being persecuted. Smyrna is like a Corinth or Ephesus, rather well town, port, and it was import and export. There is a lot of wealth going in and out. And it was readily available to worship ever. It's part of the colony of Rome. So they were excited about being part of Rome. However, they choose not. There's a group of Christians who choose not to follow. And their three group of people who persecuted these Christians in Smyrna are, number one, non-religious Jews. We just read, they are Jews, but are not. Jesus is saying they are Jews, but they are not real Jews because they are following me. And another group is a Roman emperor worshippers. And being a god, or so-called god, the emperor himself is a god, they consider it, and that means they bring the sacrifice. And Christian wouldn't do that. Don't buy meat? Okay, you don't buy my meat? I'm going to hurt your bag. So economically, they were persecuted. And there are a group of people who simply don't like Christians. They are the Roman emperor worshippers. Nothing to do with the economical way, but they don't like... of course, the other snitches from the Satan. So they were being persecuted. And if you notice way on the bottom in verse 10, do not fear any of those things which are about to suffer. Huh? You're not going to rescue us? That doesn't sound so good. If we are the people in the Smyrna, we are Christian, get together as Pam's home, Paul's home, and we're in a home fellowship, and we know that we've been persecuted, and prophets came, and, yeah, you're going to go to jail? Huh? You mean we're going to go to jail? We're not going to suffer? That doesn't sound like a very good thing. But however, Romans 8:28, remember, all things work together. Let's go back to verse 10. Do not fear any of these things which are we about to say. Indeed, devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested. You will have a tribulation 10 days. 10 days is a short while. That's a symbolism. So we will go through, they will go through a tough time. And someone will die. Be faithful until death. I will give you the crown of life. Now, that is a good crown of life. So we would like to have physical comfort, but God rather wants to have God's character. God cares about our care more than comfort, the bottom line. Polycarp, P-O-L-Y-C-R-P, he was the pastor of Smyrna. He's been a faithful pastor of Smyrna for many days. He martyred. There is a story about him. Polycarp, a Roman soldier, demanded him to denounce his Christ. He said, no, I won't deny my Jesus who is in my life and save me eternal life. I won't deny him. And you can kill me. My blood will spill into the ground, but I will not deny him. But they chopped him. Instead of blood, this is a story, but white blood spilled onto the ground. Different. Why? To let them know this is a different guy. He didn't deny Jesus Christ until to death. I hope we have enough guts to say the same thing. Don't think that we can, trust me, we might squirm in the last moment. But the Holy Spirit in us, I bear, helps to do that kind of thing. C.S. Lewis said once, this is someone I'll just quote to you so you might want to jot it down or remember it. C.S. Lewis said, God whispered to us through our pleasures, but he screams at us through our pain. The pain is God's megaphone to the deaf world. He continued, God cannot use somebody greatly until he hurt them deeply. So good, isn't it? So true. Let me read it. God whispers to us through our pleasures, but he screams at us through our pain. The pain is God's megaphone to the deaf world. God cannot use some greatly until he hurt them deeply. Does it mean God is sadistic? No, he's not. He's not sadistic. He knows that only way for us to grow in the same shape, same character of Jesus Christ is through trial. Picking up our cross, denying ourselves, and following him. Let's make a couple of applications. This time I'm going to ask a question. Why does God use suffering and trials and tests to bring godly character in us? Because God cannot use our
raw character.
Whether you believe or not, I was a sculptor, major in sculpture. As a sculptor, I couldn't use raw clay. So I had to beat the snot out of the hammer. Put some water and pound that thing until I become really gentle. Then I can use that. See, he cannot use our raw material. So he had to break that raw material to the firm formula. Once he becomes in right his hand, he can mold us shape of Jesus Christ. Second question. How can we handle sufferings and trials and tests? Through the trials and tests, listen to me please, we can be bitter or we can be better. We can be a victim or we can be victor. We can run to God or we can run away from God. Whose choice? Say it again. That's not for that. Remember, when we're through trials and tests, do not isolate yourself away from God and His book, and His word and prayer. Run to God. All right, I'm done. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Knowing you, Lord, you're going to put us through trials and tests now, since we learned that you. Let's not be just here, but you let us be here. Let us be a victor, not victim. Let us be a better, not there. Let us not isolate ourselves, but run to you. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We are going to have a communion. While we're doing that, can I borrow your pen so I can write down the piece of paper, please? Thank you. Pen, thank you. Yes.
Quick question for you.
Yes, sir.
I've heard different definitions of Lane 23 or elsewhere. Take up your cross. How would you define the scripture meaning to take up your cross?